Deborah, take your Bible, please. Open it with me to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. And also put your finger there and put your other finger in 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2 and Revelation 13. Now, I want to remind us that no prophecy is left to be fulfilled in Scripture before the rapture occurs. Let me repeat that. There is not a single thing that is prophesied in Scripture left to occur before the rapture. Now, in 2 Timothy, chapter 3, it talks about the fact that immediately prior to the rapture, Christendom, that's professing Christianity, will become more and more and more like the lost world. In every area, friend, our world is getting and will continue to get worse and worse. I wish I could, I didn't have to say that, but it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. The sin in our world is getting worse, and it's going to continue to do so. Evil is getting worse. You know, they have these TV programs about criminals, you know, the crime shows. Just some of the things that happen are just unbelievable, and yet they're based on actual events. You remember? Are nothing compared to what goes on now and what happens. I look at the news and just cringe. It's just awful. The things that just, let me say it this way. The things that people do to children in this world are absolutely horrific, yeah. Horrific and unthinkable to normal people. And yet it happens all the time. The trafficking of the flesh of young children is everywhere. It's in our city right now, in our small county seat town. It's everywhere. And 2 Timothy 3 says, as Christendom becomes more and more like the world will get more and more like the devil. That's just the way it is. It is getting worse morally and will continue to do so socially and economically, religiously, politically, in every way. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Now, that's not being negative. That's not being pessimistic. That's just the way the Bible says it's going to happen. Now, in chapter 12 of Revelation, we went back chronologically and began to see the details of events that will occur immediately following, or prior to, and following the rapture. Chapter 12 talks about Israel as the sun-clad woman, ready to give birth to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Satan as typified by the great red dragon, lying in wait and waiting for that boy to be born and trying to kill him. And it also saw that as soon as the Son of God is born, this child who was to take the role as the Messiah was rejected by Israel. He was caught up to heaven in what we call the ascension to the throne of God. In verses 5 and 6 of chapter 12, we have a wedge. That's where the church age occurs. That's part of the mystery we talked about this morning. The mystery of the church age is jammed into chapter 12 between verses 5 and 6. Then we saw in verse 7 and 8, Satan will lose all his access to the throne of God. It will be eliminated. Now, right now, when you and I sin in thought, word, or deed, Satan struts into the presence of God and accuses us. And he says, look at what he or she did or said or thought or whatever, and just thinks he's so arrogant. He thinks he's got God, you know, right where he wants him. And then God points to his son. And Jesus shows his father his hands and side. And God, for his son's sake, forgives us. Jesus is our advocate. Isn't that a blessing? Now, when the rapture occurs, immediately following that, Satan loses access to God. And in verse 6 of chapter 12, it talks about Israel fleeing into the wilderness where God protects her for the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. And in verses 10 through 11 of chapter 12, we talked about the terrible persecution that those who are saved during the tribulation will endure. And in verses 13 to the end of the chapter, we saw Satan, through the Antichrist, will pour out his vengeance on the earth, on Israel, excuse me, for being cast out of heaven, and it'll be poured out like a flood. And Israel again will be faced with certain destruction, but God will intervene once again and rescue her, because he always promised that he would. Then, in utter fury, Satan, through the Antichrist, will wage war on a level against Israel that will be unprecedented. You know, in our time, we're watching the Iron Dome that protects Israel, and most of the missiles and the drones and all that stuff don't make it through. But hey, that is nothing. I saw a map where they show how many of those that Iran has shot at them, and it's they've been shooting a lot of things at them. But it's dots. There won't be dots. The map will just be completely everywhere. And in order to understand chapter 13. We have to understand the book of Daniel, particularly Nebuchadnezzar's dream. We'll be studying this in detail on Sunday morning, starting on May 3rd. And God showed Nebuchadnezzar the four worldwide empires that would come to power for all of time. And it was done in the form of a statue, an image. And the statue has a head of gold, which pictures the Babylonian Empire, the breastplate and arms of silver, which picture the Persian Empire, the Medes and the Persians, and then the abdomen and the legs, thighs of brass or bronze, picture the Greek Empire, and then the Roman Empire is pictured by the feet of clay, iron one and clay is the other, and the Eastern Western Empire of the Roman government. Now, in Revelation chapter 13, they're listed in reverse. We'll see a leopard, which pictures the Greek Empire. We'll see a bear, which pictures the Persian Empire in chapter 13. A lion, which pictures Babylon. And then he mentions another empire that was wounded unto death, which is the Roman Empire. And we concluded our study last time in chapter talking about the man of sin, the Antichrist, the beast. And chapter 13 introduces us to and describes him. Now, keep your finger there. Back up quickly to 2 Thessalonians as we get an introduction to what we're going to read in chapter 13. Verse 7, 2 Thessalonians 2. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth or hindereth until he be taken out of the way, and then shall the wicked, that wicked or wicked one, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now here's what's going on right now. Right now, the Holy Spirit, who lives in God's people, is hindering, only letting the devil do a few things. He doesn't do everything he wants to do. And Satan would like to do so much more evil than he does right now. But he's hindered by our godly living. How we let the Holy Spirit control us. Now that, as we look at what's going on around us, ought to make us take a second look at our walk with God individually. Because what's going on in our world is being allowed by God the Father, because of the way we live and the way we think and the way we talk and so forth. Now, when we are removed at the rapture, there will be no leash on the devil. And he will be able to do everything he wants. What does Satan want to do more than anything else in his heart? He wants to destroy the children of Israel. Why? Well, there's several reasons. One, I think, is because through the children of Israel came the Messiah. Another reason is because through the children of Israel comes the Word of God. And God promised to bless all mankind with His Word and His Son through His chosen people, Israel. And Satan hates God for that. He does not want anybody to go to heaven. He does not want to be alone in hell. He wants to take as many people as he can with him. And so here we read about the hindering of Satan on a leash through the Holy Spirit who's living. Now, when he's removed, then the wicked one shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now, this is talking about the Antichrist, who is Satan incarnate, because they receive not the love of the truth. Who's the love of the truth? Jesus. That they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Now, the man of sin will come on the scene during the day of the Lord. And the book of the Revelation also talks about not just the Antichrist, but what a guy called the false prophet. Now, some theologians say that the false prophet and the Antichrist are the same person. But I don't believe that, because the Antichrist, I find, will be a political dictator, and the false prophet will be a religious leader, and the Antichrist will set himself up as God, and the false prophet's job will be to stimulate, to cause people to worship the Antichrist. And the result will be the total marriage of government with religion. Okay? Now come back to Revelation 13. So that's when the Holy, or the Antichrist, will be revealed after the rapture. Now, let's look at, by the way, that phrase, the beast, that's used to describe how awful the Antichrist will be. He will be a combination of the evil, the vice, and the vicious attributes of a Hitler, for example, a Mao Zedong, a Joseph Stalin, a Pol Pot, a Genghis Khan, or a Joseph Mengele. And all these and a thousand other evil men of history will all be wrapped up in the evilness of this one man. All combined, they would never be as evil, not even 1/100th as evil as the Antichrist, because he will be Satan in the flesh. You know, Jesus was as really God as though he were not man, and as really man as though he were not God. He was a perfect blend of God and man, right? He was absolutely perfect. Now, the Antichrist will counterfeit that, and he will be the absolute embodiment of Satan himself. And because the Antichrist will be Satan incarnate, many who are in a position to know believe that the man, that man is alive right now. Now, I believe that we will never know until we're in heaven after the rapture who the guy is. In fact, I really believe that in every generation, Satan has his man prepared and ready to take this position. Because the Bible says no man knows the hour or the day that the Lord Jesus is going to come for us. And I think that includes Satan. I don't think Satan knows when Jesus is coming. He's got to know it's going to be quick, because he's an ardent Bible student. And so he knows that his time is short. And so he's ramping up his activity. But he doesn't know exactly when that's going to be. So in every generation, I think he's got somebody ready to take that position. The guys that I've read after really believe that he's alive right now. And the reason you and I don't know who it is yet is because he hasn't been energized, indwelt by Satan yet. But verse 4 says, look at verse 4 of chapter 13. It says, and they worshiped the dragon who gave power unto the beast, and worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So he'll be a combination of all the great traits of all the nations. He will have the military prowess of an Alexander the Great. He will have the intellectual capacity of the Greeks. He will have the organizational skill of the Babylonians. And listen, he will have the ruthlessness of the Roman Empire. Only a demon-possessed man could think up crucifixion. That is an unbelievably horrible way to execute somebody. Every significant trait that has characterized every great leader for all of time will be wrapped up into this one man, the beast, the Antichrist, and he will be then energized by Satan himself. And prior to that point, nobody's going to suspect that this guy is him. We will not look upon him and go, you know, I really think this guy could be it. It won't even look possible, because 2 Thessalonians 2 says, when the restrictor, the Holy Spirit, is removed, he will then be energized by Satan, and he will just burst on the scene and take over. And no one will have guessed it would happen. The Antichrist will come on the scene. The whole world will look at him and say, now there's nobody like this guy. There's nobody like him. Not only will he be a military genius, he will be an economic genius. He will be in total control of the economic system of the entire world. And folks, if you know anything about economics, you know our world is rapidly approaching a one world currency, a one world monetary system. We're almost there now. Very interesting that I was reading not too many weeks ago that the U.S. dollar is wavering as the international currency of value. And they're really not sure what might take over. But it's highly possible, this article said, that the Chinese currency will become the standard. Now, if that occurs, if the United States dollar ceases to be the standard of international trade, our nation economically is sunk, because we won't have any bargaining power. You know, Trump is busy, you know, putting tariffs on people and countries and so forth. That won't matter, because our money won't be worth anything. It's already not worth much. I can remember when I was a kid, my dad complaining about how much everything cost. Seems like dads are still doing that. And mom would go to the warehouse market. And we'd go to warehouse market, and she would spend $20. $20. And I would be carrying in 4 to 6 big, not these reduced size they have now, big grocery bags full of groceries. And that wasn't that long ago. Now, my kids and grandkids think it was, because, you know, they think I knew Noah. But I didn't quite, but almost, but not quite. But, you know, it wasn't that long ago that a brand new home in this country was about $16,000. Not that long ago. When I started working in high school as a sophomore, the minimum wage was a dollar something. I think it was about $1.40 or something. I was making full-time man's wage, doing a full-time man's job, and I was making $3.75 an hour in 1976. By the time I had graduated high school, I had got up to $4.90 an hour. $4.90 an hour, which was pretty good money in 1978. I was really happy about that until I got my first paycheck and saw how much the government took out. What is this FICA thing? And the lady accountant says, well, that's your, you know, that's what you owe the government. I said, well, why can't they just make, you know, go do the, leave me alone? mean, I'd have done a lot better if they quit taking all that money. But listen, the minimum wage now is almost twice or more what I was paid as a full-time man's wage when I was a senior in high school. Money is not worth what it was. Things that cost, you know, a loaf of bread was cheap. I asked my grandmother one time, what did a loaf of bread cost? She said, we couldn't buy a loaf of bread during the Depression, but if we could, they were about 19 cents. I'd like to buy some of that. You know, wouldn't it be nice to go back in time knowing what we know now and take a bag of money and just buy all that? You can't do it. This guy will be in control of all the economy of the world. And that's why you and I better not place our faith in money or politics or government or the things of this life that are temporary, because one day it's all going to be worth nothing. The Antichrist will take control of all of these things, and soon after, the Bible says God will cause all of that to collapse. We're going to see this in a few more weeks. The economy is going to collapse. The military is going to fail. It's just going to all fall apart. Today, most professing Christians they're stuck in this world. They live in a world that they're, as I say, their tent pegs are drove down too deep. And instead of being like that, we're to be like Abraham. We're to be sojourners. This world's not our home. We're just passing through. The Antichrist will be able to convince the peoples of the world to follow him, because they will have long before focused their lives on that which is temporary. And that's why the Christian has to be careful to not focus on that which is temporary. Now, this man will come on the scene. He will have all of the persuasiveness of a Huey Long. He will have the personality and the wit of a JFK. He will have the organizational skills of a Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He will have the mesmerizing characteristics of a Bill Clinton. And he'll have all of those attributes of the political leader that is necessary to bring everything together. He will be a super, super man. Now let's begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, that's the peoples of the world, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy, singular. Name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, that's the Greek Empire, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, that's the Persian Empire, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, that's the Babylonian Empire, and the dragon, Satan, gave him his power and his throne and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. Remember, as it were here, it's reminding us, it's not exactly, but it looked like it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, this is the revival of the Roman Empire. Rome is the only world power that was never conquered. Never conquered. They imploded from the inside out. They did it to themselves. They were never conquered. And the Roman Empire is going to be revived. That's the feet of iron and clay of Nebuchadnezzar's image, statue. And they're going to be revived eventually at the end under the Antichrist. Now, notice verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon, that's Satan, who gave power to the beast, the Antichrist, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now, in other words, they had his picture everywhere. Have you seen pictures or movies of Nazi Germany? Everywhere you went was a picture of Hitler. Everywhere you went. The Nazi symbol, the swastika, was everywhere. In fact, when the Zeppelin company built the Hindenburg, the folks at the Zeppelin company did not want to put they wanted Count von Zeppelin to name the Hindenburg after Hitler, and he wouldn't do it. So he named it after Hindenburg, who was the president before, and that irritated Hitler. But then they compromised. If you remember the videos that you've seen of the movies made at that time, they put the swastika on the tail. Now, what's interesting is the politically correct crowd, if you go to YouTube, want to watch the burning of the Hindenburg, they pixelate out the swastika because that might offend somebody. It's what happened. You know, don't worry about that. You know, people are so easily offended. It's just not even. But anyway, everywhere you went, when you looked at the great Colosseum, the Olympic Colosseum from 1936, filled with Germans, Nazis saluting Hitler. I mean, they had these giant. They didn't have giant screen TVs, so they had huge banners everywhere. Listen, Hitler was brilliant in this. They had the best-looking uniforms. They had the most colorful parades. They had all of the propaganda. It was a nothing compared, however, to what the Antichrist will be doing. It will be peanuts compared to what the Antichrist will do. He will be a superman, and the whole world will bow down to him. Notice verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And by the way, does that remind you of the fact that Satan never blatantly tells you a lie? He mixes it with the truth. He mixes it with the truth. Great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. There's that phrase again. Out of the last half of the tribulation, 42 months, time, dividing of time, last 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name. He'll demand to be worshipped, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, in whose names are, listen, circle this, not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. During the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, the Antichrist will be setting himself up and setting up the world for this very moment, which I believe will be the dedication of the temple in Jerusalem. And it will be given him, verse 7, to make war with the saints. When they, the Jews, refuse to worship him as God, he will go to war with them. Now notice it says, whose names are not written. He will go to war, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written. Now that phrase not written harkens forward to Revelation 21:27. There is a book in heaven right now. Now, do I think it's a literal book? Yeah, I think it's a literal book. And in that book are the names of every soul. I used to say born before Roe v. Wade. I now say conceived. Every soul that would ever be conceived, God put their names in a book. Now, I say it this way because it works for my little pea-picking brain. He wrote their names in pencil. Okay? When you accept Jesus as your Savior, he overwrites your name in blood. Whose blood? The blood of Christ. And your name is found written in. Now, another way to say that is, in the old time days, we had what was called a blotter. You'd had a fountain pen, and you'd write, and then you had a blotter. And if you wanted to unwrite something, you could blot it before it dried. Now, a lot of people don't get that, so I use a pencil and eraser, and okay? But it's the same thing. Here it says, whose names are not written. They're found unwritten. God is not willing that any should perish. So in eternity past, he put everybody's name in a book who would ever be conceived. And when you accept Jesus as Savior, your name is overwritten in the blood of the Lamb. But if you die without Jesus as Savior, God unwrites your name. He takes a big pink eraser and he erases your name, and there's a spot where your name used to be. And if you look real hard, you can see where the pencil marks were, but your name is no longer there. And Revelation chapter 21, verse 27 says, all those whose names were found not written, unwritten, erased from the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. Only those who have their names in the book of life will enter heaven. Verse 9. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Did you notice that? He does not say, anybody has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You know why? He did all that through chapters 2 and 3. Let this, whoever has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You know why he doesn't say that? Because there are no churches. The church is gone. The wedge has been removed. The timeline is slapped back together. We're in heaven. The church age people, saved folk, are in heaven. And we're up here. And all this is going on down on the earth. So he doesn't say to the churches. Because Christ has taken us out and we're gone. Verse 10. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now, verse 11. And I beheld another. Well, let's stop right there. Now, verse 10 talks about persecution that will happen. And it also talks about who's going to receive it. It will be everyone who does not receive the mark of the beast will be attacked. If you don't follow the Antichrist, we will kill you. People say, well, I don't believe that a civilization could be like that. Are you aware of the Muslim world right now? You either convert or we will kill you. I was watching a video where the LGBT, whatever group, you know, they were out there protesting. You know, the left was out there protesting, I believe it was in New York City, and they were protesting for the Muslim people. And the Muslim guys all came in wearing their, you know, military type stuff, and the left wing kooks were going, we're on the same side as you. And I heard with my own ears some of those Muslim fighters say, no, we're not. No, we're not. You see, if you do not, according to Islam, if you do not convert, we kill you. Doesn't matter whether you're green, purple, orange, red, or polka dot. Doesn't matter whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, an independent, or a nothing. Whether you're gay or not, by the way, the gays get killed automatically. That, I mean, you know, do you understand that? These same crazy left-wing people are the first folks the Muslims are going to go after. And this is an entire culture of millions upon tens of hundreds of millions of people. I read a statistic this afternoon, and I wish I'd written it down. The number is in the billions of Muslim people in this world. And they will convert you or kill you. And they just as soon kill you as look at you. And yet that is nothing compared to what it's going to be like under the Antichrist. We read about Nazi Germany, and we read about the nations like France that were occupied, and Poland, and how you had to have your papers. And if you didn't have your papers, you could just as easily get shot. And how evil, I mean, you know, I was watching some videos about Auschwitz. And these are interviews, these guys are dead now, but interviews of some of our soldiers that liberated those concentration camps. And even to the day that these guys were in their 80s and 90s doing the interviews, even as grown men who'd seen everything, they were just tearing up how absolutely inhuman the Jewish people, and not just Jewish people. They killed 6 million Jews. They killed a lot of homosexuals and lesbians. They killed a lot of black people. They killed anybody they didn't like. Not just Jews. That was the biggest group. But they killed as many. And they just as soon shoot you as look at you. Poor fellow or lady was talking about how they were separated from their father and mother, you know, her siblings, and never saw them again. Never saw them again. You know, this past week was the anniversary of the Titanic sinking. I think today, 31 years ago, the Murrah building was bombed. Never, many of those people never to be seen again. But if you know Jesus, you'll see them again, if they knew Jesus too. And these persecutions will be unbelievable. I mentioned Joseph Mengele just a minute ago, you know, the evil, evil doctor who performed all kinds of horrible experiments on living people without anesthetic. And you and I read that, or we hear testimonies of that, and we think, how could anybody be that evil? Simple. All you got to be is lost. Because without Jesus, and we'll see this in Daniel when we find Nebuchadnezzar living as an animal, anybody without Jesus sinks below the level of an animal. Animals will not do to their own what men in that condition are capable of. Horrible things. There's a TV show that I occasionally watch some episodes, not many, but a few, called, what's the name of that one? We just watched it. It's got the character from Dharma and Greg in it.
Criminal Minds.
And these people, you know, they get into the mind. Profilers. They get into the mind of the criminal to try to figure out, you know, and one of the characters in that show, the character itself, he left that agency because he could no longer expose himself to the wickedness of man. Now, it probably was due to the fact he couldn't get a better contract with the producers. But in reality, folks, you and I cannot comprehend how evil and how vile and how horrible and how far down people can sink. You never saw a hog drinking liquor or a billy goat shooting up or smoking cigarettes or walking into a school, indiscriminately shooting. There was today, did you hear this today? I just heard it right before church, maybe at 6 o'clock, before I came out from reading my Bible this afternoon. There was a mass shooting in Shreveport today. I believe 8 children are gone. I don't know that, I didn't see what they knew who did it yet. But they were suspecting family. What mother, what father, what relative, what decent American, what decent person of any nationality could shoot and murder a child? Well, simple. We've been murdering them for 50 years in this country in a government-approved doctor's offices. These kids watch these video games, not just kids, now it's, you know, grown-ups. They watch these video games where people are murdered left and right, blowing people up, shooting them. The object of the game is to shoot everybody and then you win. And we talk about that Criminal Minds. They had a show, this is one we saw, they had a show where these two boys were. And I looked at this thing and thought, you know, I bet this has happened because these two boys, their parents divorced, went on each end of the country. They kept in touch through playing video games online with each other. They became so addicted to these games that their minds became convoluted and altered. They got together and they found an empty warehouse, rigged it all up with booby traps and stuff like this, and then they kidnapped some children off of a school bus, rigged them with shock collars and a camera and a microphone and all of this, and then they're sitting in a locked room with each with a computer screen, and they're playing their deadly game against each other in the same room, but they're using real people to do it. And I looked at that and thought, you know, I told my wife, I said, I bet that's happened. Maybe not on such a grand scale. You know, Hollywood's pretty, you know, but still, I do know for a fact that when I was in high school, there was a game where in that game, video games, kids, was a box this size, you know, with a screen and handles and all that. But, you know, there was a game where they would play called Death Race 2000. And the object was to kill people. And there were people, boys and girls, boys mostly, there were teenagers who would, because they saw this in the game, who would pour gasoline on sleeping hobos in inner city slums, and while they're asleep, and set them on fire, and then laugh uproariously as they screamed and burned to death. Without Jesus, man is capable of sinking below the level of the worst of the worst of the worst of the animal kingdom. Verse 10 also talks about the fact that the weapons of the believer are faith and trust in God. Have faith in God when your pathway is lonely. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. And so we who know Jesus as Savior, hey, I'm counting on that rapture thing. I don't just believe it because the Bible teaches it. I believe it because I need for it to be true. Praise the Lord, it is true. And the people who deny it, boy, won't they be surprised. I bet you there's going to be a complainer in heaven who says, but I've been, this preacher who teaches there's no rapture, but, why did you take me out now? You're supposed to take me out in the middle or the end or not at all. Again, there's another evidence of the mercy and grace of God. God always takes his people out. For example, Lot, who wasn't a vibrant Christian before he judges the world. Every single time. Noah and his family and Lot came out of Sodom, even though he didn't deserve it, and neither do we. But God is merciful and God is great and gracious. Well, let's share that gospel message with someone this week about the mercy of God as he showed it to us through the person of his Son. Father, thank you so much for Jesus who loves us and gave himself for us. And Lord, everything that we see and read about him and we rejoice about Jesus, we know it will be counterfeited and perverted in the person of the Antichrist. I thank you, Lord, for the gospel that's been preached here and in this country. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless it as we share it with others this week, that they might be saved before it's eternally too late, is my prayer in Christ's name. Amen. God.